Hello, welcome to the debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. The United States has started withdrawing its troops in northern Syria, given the green light for a Turkish operation against the Kurdish militia that it has been supporting in the past several years. Now, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has said that his country is trying to combat Kurdish fighters, whom he described as terrorists, and to establish a safe zone for Syrian refugees currently living in Turkey. Syria's Kurdish militants accused the U.S. of stabbing them in the back after Washington decided to abandon them in the face of an imminent Turkish invasion. The United Nations and the EU are concerned and have warned Ankara against the military action in Syria. Let's explore various aspects of the issue after this report.
Reactions are pouring in as Turkey is threatening to move forward with its long-planned operation in northern Syria against the U.S.-backed Kurdish forces. This comes as the U.S. began withdrawing its forces from the region, a move that has been described by the Kurdish forces as a stab in the back. However, U.S. President Donald Trump has defended Washington's decision. In a tweet, Trump said it's too costly to keep supporting Kurdish militants. Experts believe the recent change of policy is a card played by the U.S. president for the upcoming election in the country.
Syria has been invaded by foreigners, and war has been conducted in that country by foreigners for the past 8 years. And in 2016, Trump was campaigning for re-election, saying we have to get America out of these wars in the region. And then he was silent and continued the wars in the region. And now, a bit more than a year before the next general election, Trump is again campaigning to get American soldiers out of these areas.
A spokeswoman for European Union's foreign policy chief warned that military means would not bring about any sustainable situation. The UN Regional Humanitarian Coordinator for Syria also warned against Turkey's operation. Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif also reacted to the development. He called the United States an irrelevant occupier in Syria, adding that achieving peace and fighting terror in Syria is possible only through respect for the country's territorial integrity and its people. Zarif had earlier noted that Turkey's security must definitely be maintained, but not by dispatching troops to Syrian soil. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov also reiterated that all foreign military forces with illegal presence should leave Syria. The Syrian government has repeatedly slammed the military presence of Turkey and the U.S. on its soil, describing it as illegal.
The Syrian people in general reject the presence of the U.S. and the Turkish troops inside Syria because they are literally occupying parts of Syria. And with such an attack, this is an attack against the sovereignty and independence of Syria.
Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said that the U.S. troops have started to withdraw from parts of northeast Syria.
Regarding this matter, after our talk in the evening on this issue, the withdrawal has started, as U.S. President Donald Trump stated.
The White House says U.S. armed forces will take no side in the imminent conflict. Meanwhile, Syrian Kurds in the region have rallied against Turkey's plan.
Our message is that the work that we have done in the past will continue and that this will pressurize and have an impact on the Turkish state to stop its threats.
Many fear that Turkey's invasion and the planned safe zone in northern Syria will further destabilize the region and create more chaos in an already tense Middle East.
Let's not start discussing the issue. Joining me will be political analyst Yusuf Erim out of Istanbul and also executive director of the Ron Paul Institute, Daniel McAdams, who's joining us from Lake Jackson in Texas. Good to have both of you, gentlemen. Let's go to Yusuf in Istanbul. The Pentagon spokesman Sean Robertson says, and I'm quoting him, that any uncoordinated military operation by Turkey would be of grave concern as it would undermine our shared interests of a secure northeast Syria. End of quote. Now, if Washington is really concerned, why doesn't it stop Ankara from staging the operation in Syria?
It can't stop Ankara because first, its proxy army, the SDF, doesn't have a mandate to engage the Turks. And secondly, the United States is a NATO ally of Turkey. Why would one NATO ally engage a second NATO ally militarily to stop them? Now, if you're talking about engaging diplomatically, well, the Turks have protested Washington's brinksmanship with the SDF for a majority YPG group, a designated terror organization by the United States, at least their Turkey affiliate is. It's protested the move since 2014. So this is not something new. The Americans had to know that one day, sooner or later, this military operation was going to come, because the Turks have been adamant about it, and they've been saying the same thing for 5 years now. We've seen U.S. policies be very wishy-washy in Syria, withdrawing one day, doubling down the next day, withdrawing again. But the Turks have been saying the same thing for 5 years. The presence of the YPG on Turkey's borders is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. Now, Daniel, what do you think the U.S. agenda is? Is it really concerned about the situation in Syria? Why is it paving the way for Turkey to attack?
Well, I think the good news is that President Trump has finally, let's hope, turned his back on President Obama's failed foreign policy in Syria. The U.S. went into Syria with absolutely no strategic objectives other than this mantra that Assad must go. It was the most boneheaded intervention, one of the most boneheaded interventions of Obama's presidency, totally failed. And so let's hope now finally that President Trump has realized what a disaster it is and understood that it is not the business of the United States military to permanently stand between Turkey, its NATO ally, and the Kurds, its proxy force in Syria, its proxy not necessarily against ISIS, to be more precise, but its proxy against Assad and the Syrian government. So if that is indeed the case, and he's walking through a minefield with neocons on the left and neocons on the right, if he can walk through this minefield, it's a real plus, not only for the United States, for Americans, but it's certainly a plus for the region as well.
Now, Yusuf, the United Nations is not optimistic about safe zones. You know, it says it's bracing for the worst. Also, the EU is arguing that military measures in Syria are not the solution. Do you agree?
Well, Turkey has tried everything. Turkey has tried to do joint patrols with the United States. Turkey has had previous military interventions in the region as well, not against the YPG specifically. They've had a military intervention against Daesh first in 2016 in Operation Euphrates Shield, and that was very successful. They've had a military intervention against the YPG in Afrin, which was very successful. Now, unfortunately, this joint patrol with the United States in the northeastern region hasn't been a success. It hasn't addressed Turkey's security concerns, and there's no other scenario for Turkey. It's stated this time and time again that it's feeling a threat emanating from that region, from the YPG, and the YPG's close links to the PKK terror group, which operates specifically inside Turkey's borders, is of grave concern to Turkey. And especially the truckloads, the thousands and tens of thousands of truckloads of weapons that the United States has given the YPG since 2014, since the Obama era, is just the icing on the cake that has completely frustrated the Turks. And they have trouble understanding why their NATO ally, the United States, is doing this.
Now, let me ask Daniel why Turkey is doing something. You know, Turkey is part of the Astana process with Iran and Russia, and the Trio have worked toward peace in Syria. On the back of their joint efforts, you know, a constitutional committee is being formed in Syria, which is a great breakthrough. And now Turkey is preparing for military action on Syrian soil. So what's Turkey doing?
Well, let's not forget, Turkey's part of the problem. I mean, Turkey was initially turning a blind eye to all manner of jihadists coming into Syria because Turkey got on the list to overthrow Assad train. It was a stupid move. It was a counter to Erdogan's initial policy of no problems with neighbors. He took the neocon bait. He created a problem that he's now facing. Thousands of refugees in Turkey, Syrian refugees, an unstable border, a group that Turkey considers terrorists, well armed by the United States. So here, really, in a nutshell, is the folly of interventionism. Let's hope that Erdogan learns his lesson and decides to keep his nose out of other people's business. And I don't think that that the Turks are going to be extraordinarily successful in maintaining and holding a huge chunk of Syria. The Russians and the Iranians are way too invested in it. The Syrian army, the Serbian army, is strong, is emboldened by a string of successes over ISIS and Al-Qaeda. The Turks, do they really want to open this can of worms and think they're going to occupy on a permanent basis as part of Syria? I seriously don't think so. If the goal of Turkey is to send Syrians back to Syria, well, that's where they belong. It's their country. So in that sense, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Now, Yusuf, will this operation that Turkey is preparing for not undermine the Astana process, and will it not impact Iran, Turkey, Russia's cooperation and ties?
No, it definitely will not undermine the Astana process. Frankly, I think it will actually help the Astana process. Now, when we look at three major players, Russia, Iran, and Turkey, all of their major interests right now is to protect the territorial integrity of Syria. And who's the major threat to Syria's territorial integrity? Easy, that's the YPG. They're the ones constantly wanting autonomy. They're the ones constantly wanting to break away. And Turkey's going to solve that problem with this military intervention by greatly diminishing the YPG's capabilities. So I seriously think that this will support the Astana process. Also, by the rebuilding that President Erdogan talked about in the safe zone region, we're going to have a return of over 1 million refugees. Now, that's going to be serious support for the normalization of the area, and any type of normalization will help support a political solution process. And in the end, Iran, Turkey, and Russia all want the fighting to end, and they all want normalization and to begin this rebuilding process, and that's what Turkey's offering. Now, it might not be exactly the way Russia and Iran want it. There's going to have to be some compromises on their side, but in the long run, what Turkey will provide with this operation will coincide with what they're working towards in Astana. And also another important point, with the Turks entering, that means the Americans leaving. It's a lot easier for Russia and Iran to deal with Turkey than it is for the Russia, Iran, and Turkey all to deal with the United States in the Northeast. So when you factor that in as well, it's definitely a bonus for the Astana 3.
Daniel, do you agree with Yusuf that this is not in violation of the Astana process? And because Turkey's fighting inside Syria, I mean, doesn't this undermine sovereignty and territorial integrity of Syria?
Well, I think it remains to be seen what kind of operation it is, and we don't know what kind of operation it is. So it remains to be seen. Yeah, no, certainly, but what the extent is, what the duration is, what the end goal is, I think it remains to be seen. Now, I'm not here cheering a Turkish invasion of Syria. However, I am cheering the withdrawal of the U.S., if indeed it is a withdrawal. What we're going to see in the U.S. is a lot of crocodile tears being cried over the Kurd forces. Let's not forget, the Kurds betrayed their own country. They consider themselves Syrian Kurds. They betrayed their own country. They signed on with neocon promises, if you just fight, because when it became exposed that essentially the U.S. was backing Al-Qaeda in Syria, they had to scramble and find someone else who wasn't so tainted. They picked the Kurds. The Kurds willingly betrayed their country. Nobody wants to see a bunch of Kurds slaughtered. However, they made their bed. They're going to have to lie in it. They're either going to have to fight and be slaughtered by the Turks, find some way to make nice with Assad, and try to appeal for him to intervene. But whatever the case, you're going to see a lot of activity in U.S. Congress. Already, as you mentioned, Lindsey Graham is talking about sanctions against Turkey, a NATO ally. I think it might actually get interesting. And those of us who are against NATO, myself included, are happy to see these cracks and crevices form in this way outdated alliance that should be disbanded.
Mm-hmm. Now, Yusuf, let's now focus on the repercussions of this Turkish operation in Syria. You know, it may impact the country. Syria is still facing terrorist threats in Idlib region.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely the last thing Turkey wants to see as it's heading into an operation into the northeast is a second front opening in Idlib. And Idlib is definitely something that a topic that Turkey and Russia is going to have to continue to negotiate on. At the moment, it seems like there's a relative calm in Idlib, but at any time, there could be regime attacks again, causing a mass migration towards the Turkish border. That's the last thing Turkey wants. I believe later on this month, President Putin and President Macron, as well as Chancellor Merkel, will all be in Ankara meeting with President Erdogan. So that will be a very important meeting, not just regarding Idlib, but also regarding Syria. Something needs to be done about this refugee problem, because Turkey's made it very clear that it's not taking any more refugees. And I believe that President Erdogan assumes that he has an understanding with Putin regarding this matter, as there's been a relative calm in Idlib for the moment, but that could just be a wait and see to see what's going on in the northeast between the United States and Turkey as well. So Turkey's treading very carefully. It's got its gaze on the northeast, but it still has one eye on Idlib as well, trying to balance both of these very tough situations.
Mm-hmm. Daniel, when you look at the Kurdish militia, you know, the SDF is calling U.S. troop drawdown a stab in their back. You know, the group was for a long time Washington's most reliable partner in Syria, playing a role in the fight against ISIS or Daesh. Now, is this a foreign policy shift on the part of the U.S.? And also, SDF is claiming that without it, Daesh could go back to Syria.
Well, hopefully it's a foreign policy shift. The U.S. finds itself in the untenable situation of its own allies on one hand fighting its other allies on the other hand. And this just shows the insanity of U.S. interventionist foreign policy. It's the most cockamamie thing you could ever imagine. The problem is the Obama administration decision in 2011 to go for regime change in the first place. It was the Obama administration that fomented the phony Arab Spring throughout the region in 2011. And this is still, the fallout from this idiotic policy of this maniacal policy that you could remake the world in your own image. And how many thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands have suffered and died because of Washington's stated desire to help the rest of the world? I think the rest of the world and the Middle East will be much happier when the U.S. is finally gone. And hopefully, I think regardless of what happens, regardless if Trump doesn't mean we're leaving, this is a real shift. The White House statement Sunday is a real shift. It means that regardless of what happens, the U.S. is beginning the process of leaving. There's nothing left to stay for. The U.S. YPG alliance is gone. It's over. There's really nothing left for the U.S. to stay for.
Mm-hmm. Now, Yusuf, Turkey is saying that it's going to create the safe zone in Syria in order to resettle some 2 million Syrians there. Is this just because Turkey wants to get rid of Syrian refugees, or is there another intention behind this?
Well, I mean, Turkey has 3.6 million refugees. It's an astounding number. And the country has spent $40 billion. This is quite a huge burden, and it's a huge incentive to create this safe zone. Turkey doesn't have any other ulterior motives right now. Its number one priority in Syria is neutralizing the YPG and pushing it back off its borders. Its number two priority is resettling some of the 3.6 million refugees in the country, because it has put a serious strain on the country. It's put a serious strain on the government governing AK Party. It was a major point in the elections, in elections where the AK Party lost the two biggest cities in Turkey, and the refugee issue was definitely a determining factor in the AK Party losing. So mm-hmm. President Erdogan's listening to what his citizens are saying, and his citizens are saying, we don't want any more refugees, and we want the ones that are here to go back home. And I don't know what could be any more incentive than that.
Yeah, what would Turkey do if it went wrong? We have 3 million African refugees living for more than 30 years anyway. Now, Daniel, in terms of the U.S. policy vis-a-vis Syria, are you optimistic? Because you sounded optimistic. You said this is a foreign policy shift in a positive way for the U.S. Are you sure that Mr. Trump is really going to withdraw forces from Syria? Because in Iraq, he said he's going to stay there to watch Iran and do other things. And this is at a time when Iraqis and politicians there and people alike, they don't want U.S. boots on the ground there. So what's the U.S. agenda for Syria?
Well, I think his instinct is to try to get out. The problem is he doesn't seem to understand that he surrounded himself with his own enemies. He surrounded himself with the neocons. He got rid of John Bolton and brought in John Bolton without the mustache in the person of O'Brien for his national security advisor. So he doesn't seem to understand that the people who surround him, not only do they not agree with him, they actively try to undermine his policies. Frankly, it's difficult to understand why someone who's run businesses who understands what it is to have subordinates, doesn't stand up and say, this is what's going to happen, this is how it's going to work. So I am optimistic because any move toward this forces the point. It forces the people who want us to stay, people like Lindsey Graham, who is the senator from South Carolina, who's been wrong in everything he's ever said about foreign policy. If someone like this is the expert you listen to, then it absolutely makes no sense.
Okay, now then we'll come to the end of this program. Let me thank our guests who joined us in this debate. We had political analyst Yusuf Aram from Istanbul and executive director of the Ron Paul Institute, Daniel McAdams, who joined us from Lake Jackson, Texas. And that's the end of this program. Thank you for watching. We'll see you soon.